Acts chapter 20. And after the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said goodbye and left for Macedonia. So there's Paul always trying to encourage other people. It's rather like Jesus when he's on the road to the cross. He's trying to encourage the women who are there, and then when he's in great agony, he's trying to care for people, even in the midst of all his pain. And Paul was the same. That's how we should be. And when he'd gone through those areas and had given those people much encouragement, he came into Greece. And he spent 3 months there, but as he was about to sail for Syria, he was told that the Jews planned to ambush him. So he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater of Berea accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius from Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These had gone in advance and were waiting for us at Troas. And we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, that's the feast of the Passover, and in 5 days came to those at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to leave the next day, and he kept talking until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room, which in those days would have been like oil lamps burning up all the oxygen, making everybody sleepy. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man called Eutychus. Now, their windows didn't have glass in them. And he sunk down into a deep sleep, and he was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and embracing him said, "Don't worry, his life is in him." Now when he had come up and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until daybreak, he left them. And they brought the lad alive and were greatly comforted. So he didn't get fazed by the crisis. He resurrects this young man. And then he carries on teaching God's word. It's amazing focus, really, upon his whole life's mission, which was to teach God's word. But going in advance to the ship, we set sail for Assos, there intending to pick up Paul, for so had he arranged, intending himself to go by land. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and we came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, we came off Chios, and the next day we crossed over to Samos, and the day after we came to Miletus. Now you can look at all these places on a map and work out the route that he took. So it just shows in little things like that that the Bible really is accurate, that this really is the Word of God. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus that he might not have to spend time in Asia, because he was in a hurry, wanting to be in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. Now, although Paul says that we don't have to keep the law of Moses to be saved, he does also say that to the Jews I became like a Jew, that I might win the Jews. And so I think he carried on keeping the Jewish feasts because he really wanted to try to persuade the Jews. And so he, as it were, talked to them in their language as a Jew. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they'd come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you all the time, serving the Lord with all humility of mind." And that's so important, to be humble. "And with tears." So he wasn't unmoved by all the things that happened. He had real emotions, just like Jesus did. "And with all sorts of trials which came to me by the plots of the Jews. You know how I did not hesitate to declare to you anything that was helpful, and taught you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Gentiles repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things which will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in every city that imprisonments and troubles await me. But I don't count my life of any value, nor precious to myself, only I may finish my race and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So that's how we should be, not out for our own enjoyment, not out for our own life, not counting our personal things precious to ourselves, but wanting to finish the race. And the ministry, that means the service, that we've been given from Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom of God will see my face again. So I testify to you today that I am pure from the blood of all men. I never hesitated to tell you the whole counsel of God. He didn't tell them bits and pieces that were convenient for them. He told them the entire message. So take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after I leave you, fierce wolves will enter in among you and will not spare the flock. These were false teachers who were going to come in and try and make money out of them and lead them away from Jesus. And from among you, that's the men standing in front of him, men shall arise speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So be alert and remember that for 3 years I didn't cease to warn every one of you night and day with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those that are sanctified. And when you read the letters of Jesus in Revelation, he writes to the church at Ephesus sometime later and says, well done, you're holding on, although you don't have the love that you should have. So actually, by prayer, it seems, and by the work of Timothy, who he left at Ephesus, all these prophecies about what was going to happen didn't immediately come true. I coveted, I didn't want anyone's silver, gold, or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for what I needed and for those who are with me. And you can imagine him showing them his hands, probably with scars on them from all his work as a tent maker. In all things, I gave you an example that so working you should help the weak. And to remember the words that the Lord Jesus spoke, saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now that's a principle for all of us. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when Paul had spoken like this, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept and embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of his words that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship.